Former first overall pick. He was a player agent, was also a GM, now an analyst. Brian Lawton joins us. Brian, welcome back to the show. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, Jason. How are you?
Good. Brian, having been in the general manager's chair, there's been a lot of rumblings that Tortorella maybe wasn't Mike Gillis's hire and that it came from some influence from the owner. A, do you believe that? And B, if so, how much does that handcuff a GM to do his job?
Well, if it's true, it really handcuffs the GM. I mean, it just starts the relationship off on the wrong foot. I think we have to note, at least as far as the ownership group is concerned, that they have put it out there quite strongly that that wasn't true and that's not the case. I guess everybody can be their own judge of whether or not it is or isn't, but ultimately one thing was clear, and that was that this team, you know, for this coaching style has not meshed well, and all the problems that the Canucks have had have really stemmed from that, in my opinion.
Brian, it was interesting. They brought in Tortorella, and they try to change the entire way they played with essentially the same group of players, and we've obviously seen the end result of that. Where do the Canucks go from here now that they've got question marks in goal? You know, they don't know who the GM is. You don't know if the new GM wants to take on the coach. Like, man, it seems like in like 18 months, that organization has really unraveled.
Yeah, it has, Jason. I think it goes deeper than that if you really analyze it. But as far as where do they go from here, well, let's figure out who's going to be in charge. And then you can come back and figure out if you have the right coaching staff, scouting staff, and everything else in place that you need to be successful. But it's got to start with that right now. There's got to be one vision. One thing that people have to understand is that in today's world, it's not the way it used to be. I played in the league where the owners basically sat up in the private suites and smoked a cigar. Those days are over. Guys are much more involved with their teams. The Aquilinis are obviously very involved with the team, but that's not abnormal. That absolutely is not abnormal in today's National Hockey League, and you've got to be equipped to deal with that. And if you're not, managing a franchise in today's world is very difficult.
Oh, extremely difficult. Being a former general manager, Brian, so let's say they approached you, for instance, said, okay, Brian, we want you to be our GM. In that conversation with the owner, when you know the coach has, I think, 3 or 4 years left on his contract, as a GM, most want to hire their own guy. They want a guy that they're comfortable with because ultimately their job's kind of on the line if the coach doesn't have success on the ice. How difficult of a situation is that, and do you foresee the new GM keeping Tortorella?
Well, hard to speculate on what a new general manager is going to want to do. If, you know, my suspicion is, and I mean as far as keeping, you know, the existing coaching staff. But in regards to what he's going to do, he's going to come in, he's going to do some on-the-ground analysis. Everything is not as it always appears from 10,000 feet. And when, you know, you ask me that question and you look at it and the fans look at it, that really is the view. It's incredibly different when you're on the ground and you're in the shoes. That's the first thing that has to happen. Once the new person has an opportunity to go through that process, then he's going to create a plan and he's going to start to execute on it. And if it's done properly, it's an uncomfortable time to let anybody go. It always is. There's never a good time, but it happens to be the right time because the amount of work that's going to be need to be done for the Vancouver Canucks to get back on track is going to be enormous, in my opinion.
What would you do with Ryan Kesler if you're the Vancouver Canucks?
Well, I think the first thing you need to do and the first thing that fresh leadership should do for Vancouver is they're going to wipe the slate clean. They're going to do their own diligence. They're going to sit down with the existing players and staff. They're going to gain that knowledge of what's been going on from the inside. And then you can attack problems like Ryan Kesler. You can attack everything, but not until you've had a chance to really go through it and digest it. And it's going to take some time. That's just the reality of it. Ryan Kesler is an incredibly valuable player. And whether or not he gets traded, should be traded, all those things will be answered in the due diligence process. That'll give you the direction that you need to go.
Brian Lawton joins us. Brian, the Canucks, of course, are in lots of changes coming for that organization. Many people wondering about Toronto. Randy Carlyle, it seems everybody thinks he's as good as gone. Do you think him and Nonis are gone?
Very difficult to say as to what will happen there. I personally don't think that both people will be relieved of their duties. I think it's a very strong possibility that one would, but I don't think both, in my opinion, and again, that's from 10,000 feet. What's happening in Toronto, and we could kind of classify Vancouver also this way, is that you have coaches that coach a distinct style that are not necessarily that flexible in their views of the game and the way they're going to coach, and you have groups or teams that don't necessarily mesh with those two particular styles in this case. That's causing a lack of performance and a lot of friction, quite frankly, for the general managers, for the ownership, for the fan bases.
Now, you obviously weren't in a Canadian market as a general manager, Brian. And so in Tampa Bay, there's still, of course, a lot of pressure, but it's not as much. It's not the fishbowl similar to Canada. How hard is it to block out the exterior noise, do you think, and not start believing? Because, you know, a lot of people are going to give you opinions. It doesn't mean they're informed opinions. It just means they're opinions. How much more difficult do you think it is to be a GM in Canada over the U.S., or is that somewhat of a cop-out that people are using now because there's six teams out of the playoffs?
I think that's just a cop-out. The whole key, you know, to managing these franchises, it's funny. When you're managing a franchise, the responsibility is so great, and yet there's times where you're the only person that has the information. You're going to be forced, and I experienced this firsthand. And let me tell you, it was not a lot of fun to come to the conclusion that the Tampa Bay Lightning would be better off without a player, which in my case was very public, was Vincent LeCavalier. It is not a very popular thought for the fan base, but the reality was, and I took a lot of heat for it back then, the reality was it absolutely was the right decision for the franchise at the time for a variety of different factors. None of them, which had to do with Vinny LeCavalier being anything but an absolute gentleman and a terrific human being. And it's tough to overlook that because that means a lot to you when you're managing these things. But as far as being the purveyor of the franchise, being in charge for the future of it, I believe strongly that that was the right path, and it was not very well received. You end up getting a lot of essentially hate mail. You could say that would be exaggerated in the Canadian markets, but you know what? It's just one of those things. One hate letter or 1,000, it doesn't matter. They all have the same effect. It doesn't feel well, but you've got to have the confidence to do what you believe is right, and you can't get bogged down by the opinions of everybody else. With that said, I think you've got to be incredibly media-friendly in today's world to manage a team in Canada. And I think that the way that you do that is you be transparent whenever the situation affords you that opportunity. It doesn't always. You can't tell everybody what your exact plans are because it could hurt the standing of the franchise. But you've got to be more transparent in today's world than you've ever been in order to be successful as a general manager in Canada.
Brian, of the five 100-point teams in the West, St. Louis, Colorado, Chicago, Anaheim, and San Jose, which one do you like best for a long playoff run?
Well, I think that's a very good question. Interestingly, one of the ones that I like least would probably be St. Louis.
How come?
So I can start in that direction. I just think that St. Louis, you know, my own view is that they have a tremendous team. Doug Armstrong, Ken Hitchcock, their entire staff has done an amazing job. But I always feel like they're cheating the system a little bit. And I don't say that as a derogatory comment about Ken or Doug. I say that because they play playoff hockey from day one. That's the mode that they're in, and they do it all year long. I feel like it wears on the team, and St. Louis has stumbled a little bit here lately. People may not have noticed it because they're having such a great season, but they have. They're 5-5 in their last 10. And I feel like other teams are, you know, just getting the wind in their sails, and they're preparing themselves to play exactly the way St. Louis has been playing all year long. And I feel some of those other teams, whether it be San Jose, even Colorado, which is obviously a new entry into this bunch, I think they've got more skill than the St. Louis Blues do. And I think some of them have perhaps a little bit more character than St. Louis does. And those are the elements that are going to help the San Jose's, the Anaheim's, Boston obviously has that hit factor. They've proven it. Pittsburgh's a little bit outside, you know, of that mark maybe, but, you know, they obviously have the great skill. If they can play the way that St. Louis has played all year, I think they beat a team like St. Louis all day long in the playoffs.
Brian Lawton joins us. Brian, looking at a few other things, we've seen some changes in the NHL this year. Hybrid icing obviously has been pretty much seamless. No one complains about it at all. There's been some talk, try to find ways. You know, and the NHL has looked at changing goalie equipment and everything else. And, you know, was there ever a discussion in all your time with the NHL of the floating blue line to create a bigger offensive zone? That once you cross the blue line, you have possession, then it goes back to the red line to make the offensive zone basically half the ice. Has that ever been discussed? Do you think that would be a good or a bad thing for the NHL?
I have not personally given that much thought. I can tell you that was never discussed in any meeting I was in. And, you know, we throw around a lot of different ideas. A lot of them live a very short life. It's very difficult to galvanize, you know, 30 general managers that all have different tunes that they're marching to. So, you know, change comes very slowly. Personally, it's probably a good thing because it's easy to overreact and create more problems. I can tell you it's frustrating when you're in there. One of the big proponents that I was for back in, you know, really started right when I started in 2008 with Tampa was the headshots. That was driving me crazy. There was a number of incidences, and I can distinctly remember at one meeting, you know, to be told to slow down a little bit on that. I'm glad to see where we've progressed today. I'm glad to see it's such a big issue. It was very frustrating for me back then. And yet at the same time, I understand why you have to go slowly, not to overreact. You can't go and change the blue lines, you know, because you have a history that's maybe an anomaly as to statistical review of the game. So let's say you bog down offensively and you think, geez, we got to make the zone bigger. Well, it takes time to make changes like that. And sometimes it's frustrating. Overall, I think it's a good thing.
Brian, always good to catch up with you. Should be an interesting final week to see Columbus, Detroit. Who gets in? Those two teams definitely look like they're carrying the lead in the East. Meanwhile, Phoenix and Dallas, the best race in the West. Should be fun to see who gets in and then who plays who. We'll talk to you again throughout the playoffs.
My pleasure, Jason. Thank you.